Des temples et puis des mosquées, fabriquez des dieux de métal, vous qui ne vouliez qu'être aimé, et l'on vous a dit des prières, sans penser à ce qu'on dit, et l'on a même fait des guerres, faisant croire que vous les souhaitiez. Des richesses sur le dos de ceux qui croyaient, et on a fait payer des messes pour mieux enrichir le clergé. Vous aviez envoyé Moïse, Jésus, Bouddha et Mahomet, et l'on a bâti des églises, des synagogues et des mosquées. Maintenant que l'on peut comprendre comment vous nous avez fait, il faut bâtir sans plus attendre la résidence demandée. Comme l'ont dit les grands prophètes, on pourra voir si l'on vous aime venir au-dessus de nos têtes. La nouvelle Jérusalem.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all of you out there, wherever you may be listening. in the great American heartland to the pyramidal structures on Mars. This is Untamed Dimensions with Adam Go Rightly. That cool song you just heard leading into the show was called Elohim by Rael, the leader of the Raelian movement, which, it just so happens, is what our show is all about tonight, and our guest who will explain to you just exactly who the Raelians are and all the interesting things they're involved with. And explaining all of that will be our guest tonight, Donna Newman, who has been a priest in the Raelian movement for a little over 20 years. She has been a licensed massage therapist since 1995, where she teaches both men and women all aspects of sensuality, pleasure, and how to let go of the negative education taught regarding self-pleasure, which mostly stems from Judeo-Christian beliefs. She is a teacher of nonconformity, opening minds to alternative methods of understanding, love, and most importantly, the keys to happiness. Donna is one of many Raelian priests worldwide traveling to seminars where people of all ages can learn more about the values of love, nonviolence, and respect of global human rights. And we welcome now, I think I have her on the line here, the lovely and charming Donna Newman.
Good evening, Adam. How
are you? Hey, there you are. Thanks for coming on, Donna.
It's my pleasure.
Hey, first off, I think the best place to start here is with a little background on the Raelian movement and the man who started it all in France with the UFO sighting way back in 1973, I believe. Could you tell us about that man and his experience?
Sure, yes. His name is Rael. Of course, that was the name that was given to him a little bit after he had the encounter. He had an encounter with another human being, which came from another planet called Yahweh in 1973. The story behind that was Rael was at the time a race car driver, a journalist, and he was on his way to work one morning, driving through the hillside of France, and he had a sudden urge to stop in a place where he used to frequent when he was a child. It was called Puy-de-les-Solas. It was a volcanic area that had been overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wanted to stretch his legs. He had just finished a race not long ago, and he went walking through this volcano, wondering, why am I here? I have work to do in my office. The next thing, he looks up and he sees a bright shining light coming closer. He didn't know what it was. He thought it was a plane and then a helicopter, and it didn't have any noise. So he said, no, it can't be that. And as it got closer, he realized, oh, this must be one of those UFOs people talk about. Well, to hear him tell the story, it's a little more humorous. You know,
mm-hmm.
He said he stood there like a statue, hoping that whoever or whatever came out of there wouldn't see him, because it was a little freaky. It got very close. He saw a little trap door open and two legs come out. And then he realized, oh, well, it looks human, so it must be, you know, non-threatening. And this little human being came up to him and started to speak to him in perfect French, explaining to him who he was, that his name was Yahweh, he was an Elohim, that he came there specifically to talk to him, and he had a message to give to him that they wanted him to give to the rest of the world. So he invited him to come into his ship for about an hour, and they sat and talked. And all of this information, of course, is in the book. I'm just giving you a condensed version.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So they relayed to him what the message is that the planet needs to understand, and that thousands of years ago, these people known as the Elohim, where if you go back to the original Bible, was written in Hebrew, Elohim were the ones that were mentioned in Hebrew. It was never God. That was replaced years later. And it means those who came from the sky. It's a plural word meaning many, not just one. That they found this planet, and they came here specifically to create life, because
mm-hmm.
that's what they are about 25,000 years more advanced on their planet. And they had a technology that they wanted to use, and they found that this planet was good for creation, and they came here and created all life as we know it. And of course, you can read about, you know, on the first day they created, and then the second day, and it talked about what they did in the first book of Genesis. the thing is that we have to understand that it was a miscommunication a long time ago that these were not gods, they were people like us.
And this is written about in Rael's book?
Yeah, Intelligent Design.
Okay.
That you can go to the website at www.rael.org and download that book for free, actually. And there's several other books that you can download for free as well. Because
what a
this
deal.
Message is for all of humanity.
Yes.
It's free. It's a very simple understanding. And it's, you know, not a religion. It's not based on religion. It's based on science. And
mm-hmm.
understanding.
Sounds like a lot of religion is mixed up in all of this.
Well, you know, we have to go back to, we're just primitive people on this planet still, and we need to go back and dig through information, you know, we're a world of information, to try to understand. You know, life is like a big puzzle, and there's pieces, and they're everywhere. And how do you make a picture out of it? You know, you logically put, you know, certain pieces together, and it creates a picture. And we have to go back and look through different writings and understandings to see that, well, okay, there was an incident that took place. Some of these things seem to have happened. It was written by not just one sect of people, but many. So
mm-hmm.
is this... The bottom line is we all have to reevaluate and look and see, okay, what makes the most logical sense? This is what I did in my own life. Do I believe that there's a God sitting on a cloud somewhere with Jesus by his side, and he's like the puppet master that controls things, and if I'm a good girl, I'll die and go to heaven? Or was I a creation? Was I just evolved from a monkey? And that I never could buy into myself. And this, to me, seemed the most logical of the theories that are out there, that these people are like me. They're human. They understood
mm-hmm.
science, which we are right now. They understood genetic engineering and DNA. We're doing the same thing right now. So when our science becomes a little more advanced, one day we will create a totally synthetic human being from inert matter. We are beginning right now doing it.
I indeed want to get into all of that in a few minutes. First, back to Rael's encounter, I want to talk about a few of the details. And he was actually transported to the planet of the Elohim, if I understand the story correctly, and he met Jesus and Buddha and all these religious figures, were there?
Yeah, well, that came 2 years later. That was in October 7th of 1975. So he had, 2 years had gone by. He was out there writing a book, trying to get this message out to as many people as possible, and, you know, doing exactly what they asked him to do. And 2 years later, when you read, it's the second part of the book, they came and took him to the planet for a 24-hour period so that he could experience and see what it was like on their planet, how they live, you know, what they've done for themselves as a race of people, because they are people. They're not ascended beings in the sky. They're not spirits. That they're like us. They know us. They created us. They experienced everything we went through. They had gone through in their own creation, in their own life, and they know what it is that we go through in our life.
So you think all the major religions were given birth to on this planet?
What do you mean?
The Elohim's planet?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, he met all those religious iconic figures there,
mm-hmm.
Jesus and Buddha. I'm just...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. They, you know, all the prophets that were sent here were sent by the Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
So Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, there's been 40, 50 of them over the centuries that they were all sent by the Elohim, and they were here specifically during that epoch for a reason, to help guide humanity at that point. And, you know, the Elohim understood that, you know, they made this creation, and to interfere with it would be taking away our free will, so to speak. So, but they love us. We're like their children, you know. And if you've ever had a child, you know, you want to influence it just enough that it's still its own person, but it's not going off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout our humanity, they have monitored and seen, oh, okay, it's time to send in maybe another prophet, somebody else to bring them to another step in their enlightenment. And it's always been a being that was here full of love to give something to the humanity at that time.
Sure.
Rael is that being right now for this time. And according to what they have explained is that he's the last one until they come back, which is very exciting news.
Yeah, now sex seems to play a major part in the Raelian movement, and he had an encounter there on that planet with some robot women.
Did you read the book?
What's the deal behind that? You know what, the research I did, I haven't actually read the book. I've read bits and pieces here and there, you know, and I admit some of it might have been inaccurate, but...
No. Yeah, it's very accurate, but let me put it in context. The 24-hour period that he lived on the planet, that he was there visiting, you know, we have to understand what it is that is, you know, I want to preface this, that a human being is created for pleasure. You know, our life is a being of pleasure. When you wake up in the morning and before you go to bed at night and when you put your head on that pillow, everything that you experience as a human being during the waking hours is for pleasure, even if it's just to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Try not going for a few days. It's not very pleasurable. So we are created for pleasure. And that's something that religions have stolen away from us, so to speak, because they've put like a ban on pleasure. Don't do this, it's bad. Don't do this, it's a sin. And that's not the case. You know, we were created for pleasure. We should live in pleasure. And when Rael was there, yes, they were showing him a technology, number one, of cloning, that they have biological robots that they clone for the pleasure of the human beings that are living.
Mm-hmm.
So these biological robots are made for their pleasure, and they're designed, created, and programmed for whatever pleasure it is that you're seeking. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, Rael being a man, and he saw that they showed him an ideal woman and said, well, is this to your liking? And he said, well, she's beautiful, yes. And he said, you know, they showed him different archetypes, and they said, choose. And he said, I really can't. They're all perfect. And they said, well, take them all. So, yes, he did have a sensual evening with six biological women that were all very, you know, one with red hair, one with, you know, a thin build, one more robe, whatever, you know. And
mm-hmm.
it was, he said it was quite enjoyable, but, you know, put yourself in the same situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if it was me, okay, as a woman, and I went to a planet somewhere where I could choose through six men who, you know, were genetically engineered to make me, to please me for an evening, and they were the perfect specimen of a human being that you could get, wow, I'm not going to pass that up. You know, male or female, it doesn't matter. You know, it's...
Yeah, I have no argument with you whatsoever.
I don't think anybody would. You know, when it comes to satisfying our needs, and we do have needs as human beings, whatever they be, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sensual and sexual pleasure is probably one of the most exciting experience we can have with another human being. You know, I mean, and let's face it, I don't know of, you know, I mean, I've had incredible conversations with people that have been very stimulating intellectually and spiritually. They were very orgasmic, you know, but on a physical level, wow.
There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
So, how did you become involved with Raelianism? And
oh, my story. which was very interesting, actually. It was 21 years ago when I lived in Los Angeles, California. And actually, this was pre-Raelian movement in the United States. There were only a couple of people that even knew about what this was. And I happened to be working in a very small perfume shop that was behind a health food store in Beverly Hills. And a gentleman that used to come by every now and then and go to the health food store, he knew Rael. He had met Rael, and he had read his book. And he would, you know, frequently come into the shop and talk to me. He had a crush on me, I guess. And we would talk, but, you know, for a year went by, and he never told me anything about it. And then one day, just one day, I was leaving the office, going to meet a girlfriend for dinner, and I was coming out the back door, and he was walking in the back of the building, and he said, "Hi, how are you?" And for some reason, rather than saying, "Oh, I'm fine, how are you," and go on my merry way, I just looked at him and said, "I'm not doing too well." I just, you know, and I kind of shocked myself, you know, why would you respond like that? And he said, "Well, what's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, my life is, you know," and I started telling him that, you know, I wasn't really happy with my life, my weight, my health, da-da-da, and because I knew he was really into, he was like a health fanatic at the time. And so we started talking, and then all of a sudden, I don't know where in the conversation, he started talking about Rael and the book that he wrote and Elohim and extraterrestrials and life on other planets. And I was fascinated, and I went, "Wow, this sounds very interesting." 2 hours we stood there talking, and I said, "Well, how can I get this book?" And he gave me a flyer, and he said, "Well, just write." At the time, I had to write to Canada and wait 2 weeks for it to be delivered. And so I did, and I waited, I got the book, read it, and it made so much sense to me that it was like bells went off in my head and went, wow. I had very few questions because it just, it was like that picture I had on the, you know, I had this painting I was trying to paint, and there were so many pieces missing. And when I read the book, a lot of the pieces just fell right into place, and it just made sense. And I've been with them ever since, you know. And I, you know, there was no sales technique or strategy to win me over. It was me, the book, by myself in my room for a day and a half until I read it. And that was it. You know, that's how
well,
I started.
Yeah, critics would say, and, you know, let me play the devil's advocate here for a second, that, you know, the Raelian movement is a, let's say, a UFO sex cult, for want of a better term, that, you know, it uses the appeal of sex to recruit new members.
Well, of course the media would say that. That's what sells papers, you know. If they just say, "Oh, here's a beautiful philosophy of people who seem to want to change the world and bring some consciousness to humanity, let's check in and see what they're all about." And, you know, they're doing great things out there. They're building hospitals for women who have been excised in Africa. Mm-hmm. They're doing fabulous things all over the world. That's not the media. That doesn't sell papers.
Yeah.
You know, what sells papers is, "Oh, my gosh, these people believe in sex. So let's go that direction." Well,
okay.
Everybody believes in sex. You know, that's nothing new.
And I don't want to ignore, and we'll talk about the Adopt a Clitoris campaign, I believe it's called.
Yes.
And some other stuff. So you basically work as a PR person. That's one of your functions with the movement?
It has been in the past, yes. I, you know, I've done many things. You know, it's, you know, I have dedicated myself to humanity.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing that through the Raelian movement, you know, so my heart's always been in that place ever since I was a little girl. I just found the vehicle to travel with in that plan. And so,
from the bio, it appears you're some type of sex therapist.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say sex therapist. You know, I deal, you know, I deal in massage therapy, and people who come to me, and I found this to be true, as I said, I've been a therapist for since 95, that especially in this country, and it's probably not the only country, people are touch deprived. We live in touch deprivation. People are afraid to touch each other, to get close to each other, to know each other, and I'm talking about people, these are people who have relationships,
yeah.
have been married, and it saddens me to see that people have no time for each other. They have lost interest in, supposedly when they met, couldn't keep their hands off of each other, and then now what's happened? What world has come between you that you've lost interest in each other? And if that's the case, then by all means, I believe that people should move on and move out and go find something that's going to please you. If both people are miserable, why are you together? You know?
Yeah.
So I try. You know, it's funny because when clients come to me, they think they're just coming for a massage, but they leave with a whole lecture. You know, of life before they get out of there, and they're quite. And I do quite. I have over 250 clients that I see, you know, sporadically here and there. So
well, that must keep you busy.
Yeah, it does, and it's interesting because I work out of the pleasure of my own place. And I'm self-employed, and I don't have the stress of having to get up at a certain time and go to sleep at a certain time.
You don't sound overly stressed out to me.
No. I mean, I do have my moments. I'm human.
Oh, sure.
You know, but you know what it is? I love my life. I love myself. I love life. And I think I'm a very passionate person. And the happier a human being is, the happier they, you know, the more happy that you are, the more that's going to spread to people around you, because it's you're like a little happiness disease, you know, a virus. I would say a happiness virus, because it does rub off, and I think that's our goal as human beings. We're here for each other. You know, if you look at the world, we're one humanity here. It's like an organism. It's like a heart that beats. We're all part of the same heart, you know. So, you know, I was trying to explain to someone today, I said, you know, if you look at this planet as a human body and we're all part of that human body, why would you want to cut off your arm because it lives in a rack? You know, it's your arm, you know. So why do we separate ourselves from other people?
Yeah.
Why do we live in fear and hate, and most of it's fear? Why? You know, it's education or lack thereof.
Well, yeah. You look at a map of the world and the boundaries and...
It's funny, you know, when I think, you know, here's a planet... It's our planet. I don't even like to use the word civilization because we've never been civil. So I don't think we can call ourselves a civilization. Only for people who have become civil. And we've never reached that point. We've just gotten much better at being cruel and much more devious at it. But when you look at the planet from above, and I love that song by Bette Midler, and she, I can't remember the name of it, but I changed the words instead of God is watching you. I put they are watching you. They are watching you. And how can you not love the person that you are looking at on the other side of the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a beautiful song. And it's true. If you talk to any astronaut that's left this planet and gone off this planet out into the universe and looked down, this is a very beautiful, peaceful globe, you know, and it's only when you get closer and closer that you find the chaos that's going on here. But it's our planet. We have the right to do whatever we want and live however we want here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no master rule. It doesn't have to be the way it is. And that's up to us as human beings to change it and make it the way we want it. And that's what we do in our philosophy, is to try to raise that consciousness of humanity to say, listen, take back your life. Take back your brain, because you've been brainwashed and duped by so many things. And who are you? Who were you when you, what were your dreams when you were 7 years old? Mm-hmm. Are you living your dream? Some people do. But for the majority of people, what is your life? You know, do an assessment. Everyone should do an assessment of their life. Are you happy? If you're not happy, ask yourself why. And what can you do to help make yourself that way? And I created my happiness. I built it, and I've built it over the last 21 years of my life. Yes, I was a happy-go-lucky person before. I had happiness in my life, but I have conscious happiness now. Before, it was sporadic. Mm-hmm. Something would happen, an event would take place, and I'd be happy, you know, and then I'd be sad, and then I'd be confused, and then, you know. But now I live a happiness, a conscious happiness. It's an everyday consciousness, because you're aware. And it's like living in a bright world versus living in a tunnel, where I choose brightness and light.
It's a good choice. Hey, one question I ask all my guests: have they had a UFO experience? Just because I'm kind of taking a general survey of folks, and have you had a UFO experience?
Personally, no.
Okay.
Never seen one. I wish, you know. I look up in the sky often, and I'm hoping when I take a walk at night and I'm looking up going, why can't I see one? Let me see one. You know, but it's not, for me, it's not the ultimate necessary factor that's going to sway my life one way or the other. I know they're out there.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, it would be an exciting experience. I know many Raelians who have seen UFOs. You know, they were in a seminar in Canada probably about, I don't know how many years ago it was, 25 years ago maybe, that 15, 20 of them saw a big UFO light show going on for about 10 minutes, you know. And I know people that don't even believe my philosophy that have seen flying saucers flying overhead, you know.
Sure.
So there's just too many sightings for it to be misinformation, not true. So, you know, I know they exist.
What it is exactly, though, is the question.
Well, I have to look at it logically, because I have become a logical person over the years. And I think, you know, if these people or whatever it is that are in these ships are coming overhead or visiting us or passing through, whatever, what evolution on their planet have they evolved to consciously, technologically, to get off their planet, to have the science that they must have? And certainly, why would they want to come here? You know, if they have reached a place in their life where they could, you know, they have access to intergalactic space, they must have learned something on their planet that is more advanced than where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there is absolutely nothing here that anybody would want to come for. What do we have to offer? We have a planet. We have a beautiful landscape. But what do we have to offer them? You know, like I said, if you were a being flying over and looking at all the horror that goes on this planet, would you stay? Would you like, wow, like, whoa, these people have big problems down there. You know, maybe we can help them. And that's the way they love us so much, the Elohim who created us. They love us so much that they will never give up on us. And that's why they've sent us messengers to help guide humanity so that we don't get lost down some road of destruction. You know.
On that note, we need to take a short musical break here.
Okay.
If you need to go, powder your nose or whatever Raelian women do.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
With Adam Gorightly, and our guest tonight is Donna Newman of the Raelian Movement. Are you with us, Donna?
Yes, I am. It was an interesting song that I was listening to.
Yeah.
I couldn't get all the words, but they were saying diamonds, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Because, you know, that's what we are on this planet as human beings. We're all diamonds. Some are more polished than others. Some are raw.
Uh-huh.
And some are buried very deep under the ground, and you can't get to them. And some are just lying on the top, just waiting to be picked up. And that's what we are in humanity. Our conscious levels are all different. And none of us are all going to see the same thing at the same time.
Mm.
And that's what consciousness is. So it's a journey, you know. What I've learned in this philosophy is that each person's life is their own journey. And how do you want that? How do you want your fairy tale life or best part of you to, how do you want to play that out? You know, you're the actor. You're not only the actor, you're the director. You're not only the director, you are the movie. And you're doing it all. There's nobody pulling strings up there. So how do you, what do you want for your life? You can do anything and have anything you want. What is it? You know, and that's what we all have to come to terms with. Who are we? Where are we going? And how did we get here?
Hey, I'm with you. Hey, now, the Raelian Movement came to the attention of most people in a big way. I believe it was in 2002 with the claim that a biotech company named Clonaid, who I believe is affiliated with the Raelians, had cloned a little baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
Named, fittingly enough, Eve.
Eve, yes.
Now, many in the media, of course, called these claims bunk. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case, let me first ask you, you know, what's...
Okay, I can give you some information, but I don't, you know, when you say affiliated, the only affiliation that we have with Dr. Bersillier is the fact that she's a member of our organization.
Okay.
She's a bishop in our group, but it's her company. Yes, Rael started it as a P.O. box, and she took it from a P.O. box into a business and full-fledged organization. And it's hers. You know, I mean, she's got all the rights of it. So it's like somebody bought into a company. She took off with it, and she says, hey, I'm a scientist. I know this technology is possible. Let me see what I can do with this. Then go ahead. So, you know, she went off on her own and created a business and a company and found doctors and found people that could help just do that, create a clone and one that is healthy and, yes, still alive. So, and even as Rael said, when the media did hit, how do we know it's true? Well, I have to take her word for it. You know, I've never seen the baby. I don't question her. I know her personally. Why would she lie? So I know that the technology, she's not the only one out there that has the same technology.
Oh, I don't doubt that it exists.
It's out there. And I'm sure there's other clone people that we may hear about down the road. You know, if it can be done, humanity will do it. You will never be able to stop science, no matter how hard you fight against it, no matter how many bans you put on it, no how many laws you outlaw. Science will always prevail. It always has. And, you know, no religion will stop it. No government will stop it. You know, they'll find a way. Life will find a way to exist.
I know the founder of CloneAid, what was her name again?
Dr. Bridget Broussillier.
She's just a member of the Raelian movement.
Mm-hmm.
Her company is not necessarily...
It's not even associated with us.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I find funny, because if the first person who cloned someone happened to have been Jewish, what would they be doing? Would they be going to every major rabbi in the world? Trying to put the same spin on how they put on us. She just happened to be a part of our organization. So I find it funny. Or she could have been Catholic, you know, and then what, do you attack the Pope? I don't think so, you know. It's just because we're a new philosophy, one that people don't want to recognize. Because we know we're here to shake humanity. I'm not here to make you happy. Yes, I am. I'm here to bring you happiness. But I'm here to wake you up. You know,
To tell you what you want to hear necessarily.
You know, yeah, I'm not here to spoon feed you things that are going to be soft to your ear, which I can do that, you know, in a more intimate mode. But, you know, my job as a human being, if I see somebody sleepwalking down the street, I'm going to wake them up and shake them up so they don't get hit by a car.
Yeah.
So I look at humanity in the way I looked at myself. It's sleepwalking, and there's some unconscious beings out there. What can I do to help them? And that's all. You know, it's not, you know, my life is not complicated, and what I do is not complicated. You know, I don't go out, you know, wandering the streets looking for people to believe in what I believe in. No, people find me. People find us. There's enough out there that... you know, I'm here for the people who really want to know more. If you have an interest, come talk to me. I'm here. I'm available for you.
Just back to the cloning real briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Are in some way the Elohim behind all of this? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, I understand your question. You know, I think that when you're a human being that's living consciously, that you're following a path that will lead you to truth. And that truth will lead you to, of course, who are the ones behind the creation. So, no, I don't think they're leading. I think that they're there. They're there that... you know, I don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
I can't answer that. It's just my feeling, you know, so there's nothing written, you know.
Okay.
It's not like it's etched in stone somewhere. I know they're there, that, you know, and I personally, I send them thoughts of love all the time. They're loving human beings that I'm very grateful for them creating life on Earth, or I wouldn't be here.
Now, with the time we have left, I had a few more areas I wanted to go into, but I'll throw all three of these things out, and you can go in whichever direction you want. One of the things was addressing the Adopt a Clitoris campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, as well as what is sensual meditation?
Okay.
And who are Rael's girls?
Okay, my goodness. I can talk for days on all three.
you pick the topic you want.
Okay. I will talk about adopt a clitoris because that is an issue that especially women need to get behind on this planet globally. Adopt a clitoris, we the Raelian movement started, actually Rael started this, when he, you know, realized what was going on in Africa, mostly Africa, some places in Egypt and other countries, that women, little girls between the ages of 2 and 12, are, you know, have their clitorises cut out of their body, and to some to the extent where it's so bad that they die because they bleed out, because these are primitive people using knives, a piece of glass, a stone, a rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are not surgeons. You know, this is a father doing this to his daughter, and now women doing it to each other because of tradition. And it needs to be stopped. It's a barbaric tradition that is damaging a human being. And so Rael decided that he would start this campaign of adopt a clitoris and help. There's some doctors. He read an article from Dr. Foldis, who is a French surgeon gynecologist, that he discovered, and he has been for many years, he found a way to repair this problem in women who have had their clitorises cut. And so we contacted him, contacted some other doctors, and now we've got a ball rolling that's going somewhere. And the operation's quite expensive for an African woman. It's 2 years of her salary. So instead of raising money to give to women to have the operation done, Rael decided, why don't we just build the first pleasure hospital in the world? It'll be in Africa. And we will send doctors there, and women can come and have this operation done for free. So that's what this campaign is about. We raise money. We're in the process of almost probably finished. We're not really close to raising the money we need for the hospital itself. And it's, you know, it's like when you throw a ball down the street, it starts to roll. And when you're doing it with enough effort, and things are happening, you know. People are coming on board. Different people are getting interested. We did two fundraisers here in Miami in the last month and a half, and raised $3,000. And that's community people. You know, they just looked at what we were doing in the project and went, oh, this is barbaric. Yes, how much can I give?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me help try to end the insanity that's happening. So that's what that is. And it's everything's going well. It's everything's in the works. I can tell you that much on that.
Well, now. Good deal. Yeah, I discovered that campaign when I was preparing for this interview, doing a little internet research, and mm-hmm. I came across the MySpace page for Rael's Girls.
Yes, okay. That's another thing that, you know, Rael sees a lot of things on the internet, and something came across his eyes about a group of girls called the JC Girls, which were Jesus Christ Girls.
Ah.
And these were girls who were ex-strippers who have found God. And now what they're doing is they're going into strip clubs and places where girls use their body to make money and making them feel guilty.
Do you mean they're not going in and stripping for Jesus?
No.
Oh.
No, they're going in and trying to get these women out, saying, oh, God loves you, you got to get out of this life, and making women feel bad about what they're doing. And, you know, it's your body, you do what you want with it, and
mm-hmm.
why should somebody else put their trip on you? So Rael says, no, this isn't right. So we started a counter group called Rael's Girls, and these are girls who are in the industry in one way or another who are there, and that's why that MySpace is up there, and then our, you know, website, rialsgirls.org, that they can come, because there's, you know, one should never feel guilty for what you choose to do in your life. You know, it's your life, and no group, no religion, no anybody should have that power over you. If you feel happy doing what you're doing, do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't let somebody tell you it's bad and it's wrong. So that's how that started. And so we have a website, and there's people that go to it all the time. And you know, we're there to answer questions. And that's pretty much that.
And the last one was, what is
sensual
meditation?
Meditation, oh la la, the best. You saved the best for last. Sensual meditation is a form of meditating, what people used to call prayer. Okay, now I'll try to explain it very visually.
Oh, please do.
Oh, yes, okay. You have five senses. You're probably thinking it's something else. You have five senses: sense of taste, touch, sight, hearing, and what's the other one? Sight, taste, sound, touch, and my mind's going blank. Anyway, we all know we have five senses.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we develop those senses? Sensual meditation helps us to refine the senses of taste, to refine your senses of hearing, not to just be a human being walking through the planet like a big old ball of dough just rolling along, but where you're standing upright, a part of this humanity, and you can feel everything around you. And you can do that through refining all of those senses. When you sit down to eat, do you shove the food in your mouth, or do you sit and make it a religious experience? You're putting something in your body. Your body is your temple. Are you taking care of it? When you listen to music, do you listen to music to where you're going deaf? Or do you put it at a decimal point where it's not hurting this precious person that you are? So that's what sensual meditation is. Sensual meditation is like the infinity that we are a part of. You're trying to connect to that. So infinity's out there. You're the plug, it's the outlet, and you're trying to plug yourself into that outlet so that you can feel it, because you will never be able to understand it. It's infinite. There's no beginning, there's no end. There's no beginning of time or space. And you can sit and try, did the chicken come before the egg, you know, mm-hmm. and go back and forth and drive yourself nuts, or you can feel it, become it. And that's what meditation is. It's becoming. You can sit and look at a bird in a tree and feel what that bird is feeling. You can be that bird. Connect to that, and that little piece of infinity that's in front of you. That's being conscious. That's being. That's just what a human being is, someone that is, that you just are. You're not trying. We could have been called human having, or human doing, but we're called human being. That's what we're meant to do, to be. Just be. Just be. Wow.
I had to write down the five senses so I could remember them. Smell, sight, sound, taste, and touch.
Touch, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, and then here I am. I'm in the business of senses. So that's what sensuality is, not sexuality. It deals with the senses. It deals with it's your connection to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you see the outside world? How do you hear the outside world? How do you experience the outside world? You know, and be careful, you know. If you want to be a refined human being, watch what you are looking at, you know,
mm-hmm.
what you're listening to on TV, what you're reading, what other people are saying. You know, do you want to live your life in a room full of negative, hostile beings, or do you want to surround yourself with positive, happy human beings? Well, I know where I choose. And wherever you find Raelians together, you will find laughter. You will find just people having an enormous amount of fun, which leads me to our upcoming seminar that's
yes.
coming in Palm Springs, California. It starts on June 24th, and it goes to the 1st of July. It's at the Wyndham Hotel in Palm Springs, and you can go to the website, www.rael.org, go to seminars, continent, North America, United States, and all the information is there if you want to join us. For people who have never been there before, the seminar itself is free for you. and you pay for your course, your hotel, your flight, and how you're going to, what you're going to eat while you're there. But the seminar itself is open, and it's an open door policy. You can come for 1 day, 2 days, 4 days, or the whole 6 days. But the hotel has given us a very good rate for a $250 night room. We got it very inexpensive, and that rate is only going to be good till the 25th of May. So if you think you want to come, you know, you can book a room and join us. You know, mm-hmm. it's open to anybody. And Brielle will be there himself.
Oh.
He's going to be there the whole 6 days. You'll be able to talk to him. You'll be able to listen to him speak. You'll be able to meet Dr. Bridget Brasillier if you really want to talk to her about cloning. You can talk to, you know, get it right from the horse's mouth yourself, because she'll be there as well. And many, many, many Raelians from over all over the world are coming to this seminar.
And you're going as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's a must.
Well, good deal.
And they'll learn in this seminar what it is, central meditation. They'll experience the central meditation themselves. And you'll just see hundreds of people living this philosophy, living love, living harmony, living happiness. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's a great time. We have an absolute ball. It is an absolute wonderful experience that you'll never forget, that's for sure. And I encourage anybody out there listening to, we have a 1-800 number that's on the website as well. You can call that number if you want to talk to somebody. You can go to different states in the United States, depending on where you live. There's an agent that has an email address there, an agent of the Raelian movement.
And okay.
They can get in touch with them, and we'll be happy to help you in any way to make that little journey to Mecca, Mecca, Palm Springs.
Well, very good, Donna.
Oh, it was so nice talking to you.
Likewise.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on, and maybe I'll come see you in Palm Springs.
Oh, I hope so. Please do.
Okay.
I really would like to meet you. I looked through your website when I knew I was going to be coming on the show, and I kind of...
It didn't scare you off, huh?
No.
Okay.
Nothing scares me. The only thing I have a fear of, which I need to get over, is the fear of, you know, swimming in the ocean.
Oh.
I almost drowned a few times, so I need to... That's a block that I have that I want to get over, and I periodically go into the ocean just to get over that, and I will. That's for sure. So, Adam, thank you so much. It was my pleasure to talk to you. And if anybody has any questions, there's a lot of people on our Meet the Raelian page that you can email. And I'm there as well. So.
Okay.
Thank
Great.
You so much.
Thanks, and have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye, Adam.
Okay. Well, folks, that wraps up another illuminating edition of Untamed Dimensions. Good night. God bless. Keep those cards and letters coming, all of you out there in the great American heartland, to the pyramidal structures on Mars. Until that time, Maxwell, until that time.
Happy trails to you. Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring us anywhere. Happy trails to you till we meet.
This has been a Film Waves presentation, darling.